Coming up, Rhino and Oliver give their review of the VIP experience at Universal Studios Hollywood. Live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. Universal Edition, episode 107. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside two individuals, one of whom is sitting to my right, and that is Rhino Clavin. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi, nice
Thank
to
you.
Have you.
Thank you. Thank wow. you for having me.
Great for you to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And then back on the controls...
Hello.
Oliver Green.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for. I was a bit premature there.
A little bit premature. So, but yeah. Premature. Not premature. That's it. You're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Okay.
So
okay. Doesn't matter.
I know. Matter. I'm just messing with you. So, hi. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again. This is going to be a very fun episode, I have a feeling. Last time you guys... did a duo episode. It was a good old time when you talked about Universal Studios Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights. And today you'll be talking about the VIP experience, which you also did. I probably should have sat at the controls for this one, so that way you two could have had a little bit more.
We wondered that when you were out of the room.
But. Yeah, I just really thought of it right now. That's why you guys should probably tell me these things before we get started. But
well, you've done the VIP experience before, have you not?
I have, yes.
There
so
you go.
I can compare it to the last iteration that I was able to do on it, which was many moons ago at this point, but still a really, really rocking time. I've done the studio tour a lot of times over the past couple of years since I did the VIP tour. So also got that input on it too, but very exciting episode. I love any time we can talk about Universal Studios Hollywood. It really is a magical place. And I don't say that with pun intended on there because they now have the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Oh, I thought you were making
out
fun.
There. No, I really do love Universal Studios Hollywood. I was so sad that I could not have the opportunity to go with you guys on that trip. But, you know, life gets in the way sometime, I guess. And there's nothing we can do about that, but I can't wait to hear about it. But before we get to that, I do have just a little bit other things to talk about. Some stuff happened in between now and then the last time we did a show. I don't know why I said that. That made no sense. Yes, we didn't have a show last week. For anyone out there who was watching, listening, wondering, I was just getting debarking, I believe is the correct pronunciation and word, off of a Royal Caribbean cruise on the Harmony of the Seas. It was just a two-night press cruise. I was debarking. It was a long 2 days of working, and I didn't even make it back to Orlando until about 1 o'clock. So that's why we had to go ahead and cancel the show. But we will make up for it this week by going 2 hours.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Oliver's freaking out right now, thinking, I don't have anything to talk about for that long. So yes, we have this, and I guess right now, since we're talking about canceled shows, this will be our final episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition for this week, and also next week, because next week, of course, on Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I think the one thing we'll be thankful for is that we don't have to come in and do a show on Thanksgiving.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Air horn.
Oh, you can't warn me like that. You've got to give me some warning if you're going to want the air horn during the episode.
There is. So. No, I don't have to give you warning. You should be on top of things.
Burn. Say Thanksgiving again.
Thanksgiving.
Uh,
I don't know why people watch this show.
I don't know why either. That's why I'm just actively not even watching the chat today, because apparently it's disembarking. So I'm going to stop saying debarking. Actually, I'm going to keep saying debarking.
You do keep saying debarking. I didn't know if there was a difference. Like, that's what it's called when it's just a test and you're just, or like it's a dog cruise or something.
We'll see.
A dog cruise, like like woof woof barking.
Yeah. Okay. As opposed to the other dog, you know?
It doesn't matter. Craig, please, let's get this back on track.
Well, how do we want to start by getting back on track? Let's talk about some of the things that happened over the past couple weeks. The first big thing.
Oh, that was cute. I missed it.
No, that really wasn't.
Okay. No, it was, I giggled at something on his screen. Yeah.
So, the first big thing that I want to talk about is Volcano Bay tickets are now available for purchase. Did you guys hear about this? You see this?
Was it an accident or was it on purpose? I've not heard about this, no.
Look
at that judgmental look.
No, you can now buy Volcano Bay tickets.
Oh, so it wasn't an accident.
I heard about it right now. You just told us.
I don't know why it would be an accident.
I don't know. Sometimes these things get leaked.
No, this has been out a couple days now. Yeah, so they're finally available to purchase beginning June 1st, 2017. So at the least we know that Volcano Bay will be open June 1st, 2017. We've known that for a while.
The volcano's almost closed on all sides now. It's looking really good.
It's coming along
the highway.
So well. So well. And there are a couple different options right now for your ticket purchase for Volcano Bay. So let's go over them now. So we are kind of, we knew there was going to be changes to the ticketing system. And the big one is that now there is a 3-park-to-park admission ticket, which will give you admission to all 3 Universal Orlando theme parks, which will be Universal Studios Florida, Islands of Adventure, and Volcano Bay. So the in terms of the pricing for this, the 2-day 3-park-to-park ticket is your base one that you can buy. They don't have anything for a 1-day 3-park-to-park ticket yet. I don't know if they will at some point in time, because it's a 1-day ticket that is now based on their seasonal pricing. So I think that's why they can't release any base numbers on what that might be at this point, until they have their crowd calendar for June.
Yeah.
But that 2-day 3-park-to-park ticket starts at $274.99 per adult, and it's $264.99 per child ages 3 to 9, of course.
It's not terrible.
Just to put that into perspective, the 2-day 2-park-to-park ticket that currently is available, that's $234.99 for an adult, $224.99 per child. So essentially, you're looking at an extra $40 to throw in that extra park. I know a lot of people are upset about this, but
why?
Because they think $40 is a big cost. But that's the thing.
What?
They're not getting rid of the 2-day 2-park. You don't have to.
You don't have to get it.
Which I love this, that they're giving you that option, that they're saying, okay, well, if you want Volcano Bay thrown in, we'll give you that water park extra ticket if you want it. But you can still just buy your good old fashioned 2-day 2-park-to-park admission ticket and only have to deal with Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. So they're not forcing it upon anyone. Mm. But for $40 extra, you have that option to go into Volcano Bay. And, you know, to me, that really doesn't seem that bad. You know,
what's the math on that? 3 parks, 2 days. So it's whatever that price is divided by 3, then divided by 2. So what was it, $275?
Hold on, I'm opening up my...
Sorry, I'm just curious, because I'm...
So we'll go to $275, we're going to divide that
by 3 parks.
3 parks, so you're essentially paying $92
divided
for each
by
park.
Divided by 2 days.
And divided over the course of 2 days, so
each day, each park, you're paying $45 to go.
Yeah, so I'm sure, but here's the thing, that's going to start adding up very quickly for a family of 4. Like any theme park experience once you do it for a family of 4. But yeah, the options keep going up from there. The 3-day, three park to park ticket is $295 adults, $285 for children. I'm not going to go through all of them because that's just, you know, that's getting a lot. If you don't want to do the park to park admission, which of course we always recommend park to park admission,
yeah,
if at all possible, because that's how you, you know, that's the best way to park hop. And for example, with that 2-day ticket, you have to park hop. That's the only way to, you know, if you wanted to do each park one day, you can't get that done. You have to, and that's why the one park per day admission ticket starts at a 3-day, three park ticket, and that's $250 for an adult and $200. Okay, so
one park per day.
Yes, so three consecutive days of single park admission.
Oh, so you can't hop.
You can't hop.
What? That, yeah, okay.
So let's say you want to do USF one day, Iowa the next day, Volcano Bay
yeah.
on that third day, this, and you don't plan on hopping at all, that ticket starts at $250 per adult and $235 per child.
I just pay the $25 to be able to go to whatever park I wanted to.
Yeah, pay the $25 extra.
Yeah,
yeah, well, you know, well, no, that would be $250. That would be $45 extra dollars because that one starts at 3-day. You would only get three days for okay. 25 extra.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're going like way into the math. Basically, that pricing goes up from there as well. We have this all on the Universal portion of our site. And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes, and that link to the show notes page is disunplug.com. And you'll be able to see all the pricing breakdown. And of course, you'll be able to buy the tickets if you're coming this summer and you want to use it. They also are offering a splash stay and play vacation package, which can save you up to $100 on a three-park vacation, including four-day tickets to Universal Studios Florida, Islands of Adventure, and Volcano Bay, along with four-night hotel accommodations and more. So for this vacation package, rates at Cabana Bay start at $165 per adult per night and basically goes up from there. $195 per adult per night at Sapphire Falls, $250 per adult per night at Royal Pacific, $270 at Hard Rock and Portofino, $285 right there. So this deal, you can start booking it now through April 30th, 2017, and it's valid for travel starting June 1st, obviously, of 2017 through December 31st of 2017. So, and then based on what time you travel, you can either save $50, $75, or $100. So, if that's in your wheelhouse, is something you might want to do, you might want to look into this. Of course, we always recommend Dreams Unlimited Travel, who can help you on this deal. So we still don't have any idea of what's going to happen with annual passes in Volcano Bay. Like I said earlier, we don't know what one day, one park admission tickets will be for Volcano Bay yet because we don't have that seasonal pricing. And as of now, there are no Florida resident rates. So that's also a bummer, but I'm sure all of that information is going to come at some point in time.
I'm sure it'll be, even if they don't do it when they first open in the summer, I'm sure once they get to the winter time, it'll happen. Because even though we do live in Florida, the water parks see a massive drop in attendance because people from, like, you know, New England or whatever, they're not really thinking about, like, oh, pack the bathing suit up. Like, some of them do, but it's just, you know, nobody down here is like, oh, we're going to go swimming this time of year. That's when they usually try to get you to come in.
I'll be
the deals.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's a perfect example is right now where it's starting to get, I mean, when it's beautiful sunny outside, weather. When it's sunny outside, it's absolutely beautiful. But if you have that cloud roll in, it can get chilly even in the daytime. And at nighttime, the past two nights at least,
well,
it's been on the very chilly side.
The high for Monday is 69. I can't wait.
I know, that's going to be...
Crack out my hoodie.
Crack it out. I've been wearing mine the past couple nights.
Oh, mine's iced up.
I get a little bit... You ice it? You put it in the freezer? Just wait.
Just so I'm not tempted to go for it ahead of time. Yeah, 69, 73, 77, 79. Oh my God, it's going to be great weather. Great weather. Thank you, Hurricane Matthew.
Okay.
It's been great weather since Hurricane Matthew rolled through.
Okay.
Took away the humidity with him.
Wonderful. So, Volcano Bay, that's all you need to know right now. We'll let you know if you need to know anything else. Also, things that we didn't talk about. I don't believe we talked about it. Did we talk about Aventura?
Who?
Aventura, no, the new hotel.
Nope.
No, we haven't.
No, we talked about it before when it was like the name was leaked from the document.
Yeah, no, I guess that was
Aventura Hotel.
We haven't had a show since they announced it. So they officially announced Aventura Hotel. The sixth on property hotel at Universal Orlando. I didn't even think about talking about it. I thought we already discussed it. Otherwise, yeah, we'd have pictures out there. But there will be a link, of course, to the story that we have on Aventura for anyone out there who wants to know. You can see all the concept art. Essentially, I will paint the picture for you now. It's going to be a very tall building, 16 stories. And it'll be all glass and very curvy and wavy. And I know Oliver's trying to find something very quickly right now to pull it up. But let's talk about the details on that before, so we give him a little extra time to work here. But the hotel will be a value resort. So adding on to Cabana Bay, we'll have a second value resort Aventura. It will be 600 rooms, which... Actually, it doesn't seem like that many to me.
No.
Especially when you consider Cabana Bay has 1,800 rooms. Yeah, that's essentially close enough there. So that's one of the concept images.
Is there
images.
Any real theming to this hotel?
Well, that's the problem. I don't think there generally
it's just a straight
is.
Up hotel.
It's their closest concept to a straight up hotel. I'm sure we're going to see some type of theme run throughout the hotel. There's obviously going to be garnishes and touches as there is with all of their hotels, but there's no outline theme like retro or Pacific or Caribbean. Not a theme like that, but so as we talked about it with this hotel before, it'll be just south of Sapphire Falls, and their parking garages will actually connect with each other, so you provide you very easy access to get to Sapphire Falls as well as the walking paths to get you
I do have a question.
Parks and City Walks. Yes, sir.
Sorry to roll back. You just said it, that triggered it. Is Cabana Bay going to have an entrance into the water park? Because the more and more they're finishing that last tower of the hotel, of the expansion to Cabana Bay, and that expansion literally looks like it crosses the line.
I want to say someone asked about that at one time back, and I apologize. I don't keep stuff in my head really well anymore. My memory is slipping on a daily basis. I want to say someone did ask that question because they thought from the concept art it could look like, I believe it's Disneyland Paris, where their one hotel,
you have to go through the lobby.
The lobby to get in there. I think someone asked if that was going to be the same with Volcano Bay, if you would go under the hotel to get into it. And I want to say Universal said no to that, but I could be completely mistaken, or they might not have commented at all. But that is a very, very good question. I don't think it will, but without a doubt, the new tower, which I am loving the design of it, that curved design, kind of like Aventura is going to have, it is going to offer the best views of Volcano Bay. It's going to be really neat, especially if you're on one of those upper floors at night where you're just looking straight out at the Krakatoa. I think that would be a banging hotel room to get in on. But back to Aventura, as I said, 600 rooms, 16 story, value resort. I think they did take a lot of they're in my opinion, they're kind of blending what they did with Cabana Bay as well as what they've done with Sapphire Falls, in that despite it being a value resort, it seems like they're going to give a lot of attention to the dining options and drinks. Because the one thing that I'm most excited about, Aventura will have a rooftop bar.
Ooh.
On that 16 story on that 16th floor, that's going to be a rooftop bar that they said will essentially be eye level with Krakatoa. So that in that bar, it's not just going to be a bar, it's going to be a tapas bar. Tapas.
Okay.
Tapas with craft cocktails. So it's essentially going to be
Strongwater Tavern.
Exactly.
2.0.
That's what I think. Great.
I can see them going all out on that bar to pull people in, because looking at the clientele, you know, they're not necessarily catering a rooftop bar like that to a value resort clientele. So I think they're aiming to bring other people in just for the bar alone. So I think you're going to see something spectacular at the top there. So that's just my prediction alone,
though. Yes, I completely agree. Like Cabana Bay, they're not doing an actual restaurant, but they are doing five different categories of food court style, which As I've said many times, and I will continue to say, Cabana Bay has, in my opinion, some of the best food on property for quick service, even better than a lot of the full service places at Universal. So I think that's a big plus doing that style. And then near and dear to my heart, there will be a lobby Starbucks. Because you need it. I mean, it's one of the most popular things about Cabana Bay. When it's hotel's very busy, first thing in the morning, you will see just a massive, massive line at the Starbucks. Just ridiculously popular. So, and, you know, it'll have the basic same other stuff that all their hotels have. It'll have a pool with a pool bar as well. There'll be a lobby bar in the hotel beyond the Starbucks and the rooftop bar. But yeah, I'm very, very excited for it. The only thing I was looking at is like their pool area looks rather, rather tiny. And so I wonder if they're going to try to get a lot of people to go over to Sapphire Falls and use their massively large pool, or maybe even to Cabana Bay, or get them to go across the street to Volcano Bay.
Yeah.
But it seems like this is the new option for young families who want to stay value but don't want to deal with kids and a lot of the hecticness. You know, and that's also with the look of the hotel. If it is that like smart, contemporary, casual look, it almost might give you the feeling that you're staying in a very hip retro or hip and trendy hotel without spending the money that you would if you were going to one of these types of hotels in New York or Los Angeles or anywhere. So I'm being very positive in my thoughts towards Aventura. I'm looking forward to it.
I agree. I think what you're saying as well with the design, it's suited very well to the design path that Lowe's are taking right now, because you can see from I forgot the name of the resort. The rooms at the one that's not the Polynesian, Royal Pacific, the Royal Pacific Resort, that they are more like that. It was Pete that actually pointed out, but they're more like that city boutique style hotel room, and it doesn't feel necessarily as Polynesian-y. So you can see, especially as well,
Polynesian hotel.
It's South Polynesian. What is it, Craig? I know you're very specific.
South Pacific.
Okay. Well, it didn't feel very South Pacific either, but you know what I mean. Like, they're very good at doing that boutique style hotel. So I think the whole feel of this hotel.
South Pacific?
Well, of all of us, you might have. Though you could, I mean, you're the closest one, aren't you?
No, I don't think I am.
So you can find Aventura opening up 6th hotel at Universal summer 2018. So coming up very soon, year and a half away.
Woo.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, so that's basically the biggest news that has happened since we have been off the air the last time. Sad news came out of Men in Black. A ride technician died while working.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's very upset. They tried to revive the man, but...
Was it just a health concern, or was it operational, or... They didn't say.
They're currently investigating.
They are currently investigating.
Yeah, they've not released any specific thing.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know there are rumors of foul play.
Foul play?
Mm-hmm. As in, it wasn't as straightforward as just being a medical condition in the workplace.
Well, I'm imagining somebody pushed him. When you say foul play, I imagine like some sort of...
Don't let your mind run away.
Yeah, you're jumping to conclusions. When the investigation is over, I'm sure we will know more details about it. But that is really the only information that I currently have on that as of this time. So it's very sad. Of course, we feel terrible for the person and their family, and anyone that's affected by this. You know, it's sad. I know all the team members there were pretty devastated by it.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And then one other thing I forgot to share too. I wasn't able to say anything about this earlier because I know people, too many people who work there, and I don't want to get them in trouble for sharing inside knowledge, but it's now officially been confirmed that Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey will be closing for most of December, from the 1st through the 18th. It is not to go 3D.
Oh, thank God.
They have scrapped the idea for it, though. Yes, it is. But they've scrapped the idea for 3D. They are off the table on that. This is really just for maintenance. They need to get it done. The first through the 18th will be busy, but Christmas and New Year's week are going to be busier. And after that, they have to have things ready in time for celebration of Harry Potter. So they can't really mess around. This is the timetable it has to get done. And so it's going to be very maintenance heavy, spruce things up. But a lot of people, this will affect a lot of people's vacations. And it's a sad, sad thing to ruin someone's vacation, especially if they're going to see it for the first time. But where Disney is not, Disney takes their rides down all the time for long extended periods. Universal just doesn't do it. They do dry phases on their water attractions because it's absolutely necessary. And obviously the Hulk was down for a long period of time to undergo its track replacement. But as a general whole, Universal doesn't take its rides down to do a month long refurb like Disney is. Disney does all the time. And because of that, a ride like Forbidden Journey, which usually is only closed when they have a complete evac or something happening, that's the only time the ride's not really running. And then at night during maintenance, other than that, it's running all the time. And think about it, those vehicles just constantly move like an Omni mover.
Yeah.
And it's been doing that since it opened up in 2010.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
The fact that it made it this long, when I worked there, we were all talking about how it was going to have to go down at some point, that the effects were starting to look bad. Everything just wasn't doing well. And they've held it out for another couple years here. So
throw some more Dementors in there.
Mm.
The Dementors are there. It's the lighting on it.
Fix it.
It's something that has been greatly needed. So I hope it doesn't affect too many people out there. And, of course, if it does, feel free to let Universal know, because I've known about this for about 3 months now, but
and they could seem like general knowledge.
It wasn't,
that's what seems kind of, I don't want to say shady, but unfortunate, because like I had friends who just visited a couple weeks ago, and the number one thing we wanted to do was the Harry. And I understand that it's hard to break that news to people who are like, I came here because of Harry Potter. It's tough.
No, it really is tough. And that's kind of the thing that's been eating me up, as I've known about this for 3 months, but I can't say anything about it because I don't want to put any of my friends in jeopardy because of information I put out there.
Yeah.
And, I know there's plenty of other websites out there who are willing to do it. And one day I'm sure that will bite them in the behind. But it's just definitely let Universal know if it did affect you. And I'm sure they will do whatever they can to try to make your situation a little bit better.
And I do want to point out right now, though, that that's really, that comment is directed more at the people that are visiting here on vacation, because I've been following this in the Universal Facebook group, and people are outraged. People are absolutely outraged by it. And it's like Craig just said, it's very rare that Universal takes an attraction down. So you're an annual pass holder. I understand that it's upsetting that you're not able to go on your attraction for 3 weeks, but you are not the people that it's affecting the most. So
when I worked at Disney and at the Hollywood Studios, and Toy Story opened, and that was the most popular ride in Disney World, in all of Disney World for however long. And I remember the first time that they were terrified to take that ride down, especially because it's Hollywood Studios and there's nothing in Hollywood Studios. So the way they kept prepping for it, testing it, and then they made it very well known. And the same Lights, Motors, Action, because it was a massive, could hold 5,000 people. It was a big deal. Yeah. And I would always take vacation. Whenever they'd be like, the attraction's closing for 2 weeks, we have to repave the street. I was like, I would like to go home.
Because you don't want to be the one who stands out there. And
yeah, no. Well, first of all, I don't want to stand in one place like an idiot for 8 hours a day. But also,
sorry, folks, park's closed.
Yeah, do the job.
The out front should have told you.
So, but yeah, Yeah, I'm sorry for anybody that that's going to affect your trip. But you know what? More the more reason to come back again.
Exactly. Return visits are universal. So, with that being said, you know, that news went really long. There was a lot. That's what happens when we take a week off.
Really hot over here.
It is.
That stupid thing's on.
It absolutely is. So, you guys have to start talking about the VIP tour at Universal Studios Hollywood. So why not, before we really jump into it here, why don't we get started with the video overview that we have of the experience, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty details right after that. So Oliver, can we take it away?
Craig Williams.
Wow, that was inspirational. It truly, truly inspirational. I enjoyed every second of that. So, why don't you tell me about it, Gas?
It was fun.
Good. Okay. That'll do it for this episode. Yeah.
So, it was my first trip ever to Universal Hollywood, and this really made it for me. This was an absolutely exceptional way of seeing the park. So, for those of you that don't know what the VIP experience is, it's a way of seeing the whole of the Universal Studios Hollywood theme park and the actual backlot, which, unlike the studios here in Orlando, they're actually working film studios and TV studios. Or they use them a lot more often than they actually use the ones here. And the actual backlot tour is a big part of the VIP tour. So, essentially, you will get your own private guide, and they will take you around the park, and they will backdoor you onto attractions. They're incredibly knowledgeable about the theme park itself. They are incredibly knowledgeable about the backlot and the ongoing and the working, of the actual film side of things, the studio side of things. And they will act as your guide, and they will just make sure you have an all round excellent day. That's the short of it. So, how do you think it went, Rhino? Because I know this isn't the first time you've done the VIP tour.
It is the first time I did. I've only been to this park once. Twice before. I went once with Craig, and we only were day trip. As we left once the evening started setting in, and the other time I went was only for Halloween Horror Nights, separate thing. So this was my first my return to the park, I should say. And I love this park. I love the theme park. I will make an argument for anybody. If you're going to California, you should definitely budget a day for this park. And not just because this is the Universal Hollywood, not just because this is the Universal show. This is a park, whenever I go, I want to go here.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's built on the side of a mountain. It's crazy. And this was my first experience with the VIP tour. And so the VIP tour, it is a little expensive. It's $359 a person, or it ranges a little bit because it goes up to $379, $399.
It goes up to $399, sorry.
Yeah, so a one-day general admission usually ranges from, to $110, but with a front of the line, it can go up to $245. So if this is the only time in your life you are ever going to go to Universal Hollywood and you want to make the most of your trip, I would definitely recommend this, because it's not like I compare this to the price of Disney. So a Disney VIP experience, with a guest relations person walking around is more expensive than this. But I feel like you get a lot more out of this experience than you do out of the Disney tour guide.
Well, just to compare it to that as well, the Disney tour guide, I believe, is, can you do that in groups or is that just an individual party basis? I've always known the Disney one to be on an individual.
I think it's for
party.
A family. Yeah.
So for a family. Yeah. So this, for example, you do in groups, or you can pay separately to have your own tour guide. The price does vary a lot for that. So if you wanted your own VIP private experience,
at Disney, is that what you're looking for?
I was looking for the Universal one.
I didn't know you could do a private.
Yeah, you can do it private, or you can do it in the group. The group we were in had around about 10 people in there, from my knowledge, and you had to be a minimum of 5 years old in order to take part. So the only way, if you want to do it with someone younger than that, is to book the private tour for your own party.
Well, let's run through the tour. Let's talk about how it starts. So the tour includes valet parking. as part of it. So you come in, you enter up, you go into this special area in the garage, and I have to say that the garage that you go in, where the VIP, the valet area is actually, it's very nice. It's got the pictures of the old movies on the walls. It's all Frankenstein. Is it just Frankenstein?
As was Frankenstein. Where
you were probably in the Frankenstein lot. There's different. Last time I was there, I parked in the ET lot, and I was so giddy.
Oh, well, see, that's cool. If they do the other ones the same way they do this one, I'm assuming it's great because it has all these photos of the movie around everywhere. It feels very clean and very a little more elegant, or I should say, like, you know, it's got a little bit more of an impression than like just going to Valley Park at like our Universal here at City Walk. And then you go up to the park, and they bring you in a separate entrance, and they take you up into their VIP area, which is above their guest relations.
Yep.
And, they serve you a little bit of a breakfast spread that I can't remember. Did you show that in the video in the very beginning?
Yes, it's in the video itself. It's breakfasty food. So it is your pastries and your sandwiches. This whole tour is very like food heavy, I found. This was it was somewhat impressive. Like,
I don't want to say it's food heavy. Okay, so they give you a breakfast to get you started, but then there's a lunch.
It's a continental breakfast too.
Yeah.
It's not.
And it's a California continental breakfast. It's not. It was, you know, there was like a sandwich with sprouts and stuff like that on it. It was all that kind of, it didn't feel cheap to me, the food they were giving us.
No, absolutely not.
There were macarons.
And I'm basing this, I don't think we mentioned it. Maybe we did. I took the tour back in 2013. So I'm going to pop in from time to time when I did something different or experienced the same thing, but maybe from a little different twist. So sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. Well, they have tours that leave at different times of the day too, because there was like, I think there's one at like 10:45 or something to like 11 or what. It's like, if I'm looking at the website, there was like a 10 something and then 11:15.
Yeah, and part of the reason for this is because when you get to the studio portion of the tour, the backlot portion of it, you're not in a normal tram with everyone else. You're actually in these specialized vehicles it's kind of like
a trolley car.
Yeah, it's like the size of a trolley car, or it's essentially just a bus.
Yeah, a small bus. Yeah,
yeah, and with extra comfortable padded seats, and it is a VIP way to get around the back.
It's air conditioned. They have the plastic sheets that roll, or they're not even, they don't roll down. They're controlled.
Yeah.
They'll pull them up. You know, they keep them down so it's nice and cool when you get in there. But as soon as you start seeing stuff, they pull them up.
I will say this is the actual trolley they take you on is a lot more comfortable than what you would go on the regular backlot tour in. Like it's. I don't want to say it's definitely worth paying it just for that, but it was way
more of a comfortable experience. When we get really into that part, I'm going to say that that's what this tour is 100% worth. But so it starts off in the day, and the tour guide comes to meet you in the VIP area. Our tour guide was Chris, and he asked everybody. I don't know if this is a normal thing, but he was just like, "I'm here, and I'm here for you guys, and we're gonna." He feels out like, what's the thing you definitely want to see today? You know, are you focused on rides? Are you focused on the backlot tour? Are you focused on, like, what is your focus?
Yeah.
And I said, I want to go to the clock tower from Back to the Future. And I said, I've been told that they'll let you get out of the tram and take pictures on the sets. And he said, okay, I have to make sure that they're not filming anything there. Because that's the thing to always remember. You are in Hollywood. This is a functioning movie studio. They were currently filming television shows while we were walking around in movies, you know. And so, you know, he said, what rides are definitive for you, you know, because your VIP lanyard that they give you, it includes, like, you get to front of the line for everything with that. Mm-hmm. And we will say more about that lanyard toward the end as well, because something did happen to us at the end of the day that was a positive experience with that lanyard. Nope. But, you know, so he just goes around, he asks everybody in the group what they want to do. And Oliver and I, obviously, are very into movies. So we were like, we really are looking forward to that thing. He said, okay. And then they go and they like plan the day for you.
Yeah, it is nice that they kind of do it on the fly, fitting in what they can. Pete had actually done this more than once, and I remember him saying the two times he'd done it, or however many times, it does vary. Sometimes it's very park heavy, sometimes if people want it and it's available, it's very backlot heavy. And I know that Rhino and I really wanted to do that, and we made that very clear. In fact, we were probably the most vocal people in the whole group that we wanted to see some backlot stuff. And I did hear at one point he'd mentioned, or he dropped, that due to it being the weekend, because I believe it was a Saturday or Sunday we visited.
Yeah, we went on a Saturday, I think.
It allowed us to see a lot more of the bat lot than maybe you would be able to during the week.
Yeah, because they shoot more. So,
I think if that's something that is important to you and you're considering doing this tour, that's probably something to take into account, that the weekend is actually a better time to get on this VIP bat lot tour.
So. Right, because a crowd is not necessarily going to affect you while doing this tour, because everything's reserved for you.
Yeah, and kind of going off that, yes, the tour is overall, it is, it's heavy. They put as much emphasis on the backlot portion as they can, because once you get into the regular portion, you can literally abandon your tour guide after you're done with the tour.
Yeah.
And you can do the rest of your day on your own. You have unlimited front of the line pass with your lanyard. So you can just constantly circle into the same thing over and over again. Yeah. You don't need the guide. The reason you stay with the guide is because you keep getting that history and you get that inside knowledge that you won't get if you're just on your own and you're really interested in a lot of the stuff.
And I'll say that right away, the first show we were going to, the first thing we were going to do is the Waterworld show, because that was right around then. Yeah. He had reserved seating that was in a dry area, and he even gave us at the beginning of the day ponchos. Gave us a bunch. Everyone got a poncho, and he's like, "We're going to save this for when we go in Jurassic Park later." And you know, and so he's very thoughtful, and he's very like, "Okay, if you don't want to do it, I'll hang out with you, and we can talk about some other stuff." You know.
Yeah, I did like that. So one of the first things that we actually did was after doing that Waterworld show, we headed over to
our
the Harry Potter
stunt show.
Yeah, well, we'll go along with it too. It's been a while since we haven't done a Universal segment since.
Not a Hollywood one since my first trip.
That was already last year. So Waterworld, it is a 25-ish minute stunt show based on the 1995 terrible film Waterworld, starring Kevin Costner as the Mariner.
Mariner.
Nope.
And Dennis Hopper.
And Dennis Hopper, yes. While the movie is an abysmal movie to get through, the stunt show, it's like, it's so cheesy, but it's hard to watch it and not smile the entire way through.
I think it's because it's cheesy, but it's almost aware of itself.
It's a so bad, that's it's why, good.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Especially the guys that come out to hype the crowd in the beginning. Yes. Like their water buckets and shooting the thing. And they
cheap
make
water
jokes.
Guns.
Yeah. And that's like, I don't know, that it's fun. It's stupid, but it's
it
fun.
It is.
You know?
No, it's
an impressive stunt show.
It is.
Well, it has real stunt people in it, like unlike other shows that you may see in other theme parks. Like,
my
these people,
they,
at the end of the...
Oliver Queen from How to Get Away with Murder. And you're like, oh, he was that extra who walked by the screen
exactly.
that one time.
But they will announce at the end like what these actors or stunt people have done. And they, you know, they all do have... Some have an impressive history, some have a light history, but these are people that work in Hollywood, so that, you know, the quality is a lot higher than you'd expect in other states such as Florida.
Absolutely. So what'd you do after that?
We headed over to Harry Potter. And I was just going off of what Rhino said a moment ago. So the tour guide himself, Chris, was very, very nice, and he felt very inclusive. So obviously in any group you get an amount of people that do want to go on attractions and an amount of people that don't and want to sit out. And Chris is more than happy to entertain those people and stay with them when they're not on the actual attraction itself. So the group that we were with was very diverse. It had a lot of people from very different age ranges. Some people even in EVCs, which was, you know...
ECV.
EVC. Electric chairs.
Very.
Yeah. It threw me off now. But they were...
not my fault. You got the initials wrong.
Ooh.
Work at Disney.
They were very, very inclusive. So he wait outside with the people that essentially didn't want to ride the attraction. And the nice thing as well was he would actually hold your stuff. So he was more than happy to do that. He felt...
Oh, yeah. He like took all the bags at one point.
He did,
like 50 bags.
So he didn't just feel like someone that was there to spew out knowledge. His knowledge felt very appropriate at the time. It was interesting. It wasn't like, oh, he's just reading from a script again. It was like, oh, he's giving knowledge, he's being friendly. Well, you wanted to spend time with him.
And
so.
Harry Potter, like, it is, he loves film, like, because he was talking, we were talking about the Waterworld film and everything, because he was giving us the backstory, the history, and how it came to be at the park and all that. And then even when we got to Harry Potter, he was giving us the tips and tricks in the park, because he was talking about the best place to get your butter beer, and it was the bar. Yep. About, and the same trick with ours, where he's like, if you go in, you got to go in the other bar, there's no whatever, you know. And, And I thought that was, I thought the guy we had was awesome. Chris, was amazing. But so because Harry Potter's the new area, you know, they brought us through into the Forbidden Journey. They brought us up into the Flight of the Hippogriff, and then they gave us about 20 minutes or so to just kind of roam the area.
Yeah.
And then we were to meet up front, and it was like no pressure. Like it didn't feel like, oh, I'm going to have to rush around. I'm going to have to, you know, I mean, maybe for us, especially just because we're so familiar, their area is very similar to our area.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then from there, we went into the Walking Dead attraction. And
sound effects from Craig.
They like, well, what was weird, I don't know if this happened because of us or what, but it was like there was a bubble in the line, and so we had to be the first people to lead a group through here. And it was I like the idea of the attraction. However, it is what we fear when they do a permanent house like this. There was a total of like two characters the whole thing. It was one guy shooting at nothing, and then one zombie.
Yeah, they try to rely more heavily on animatronics as well as like video projections.
Yeah, the screen effects,
stuff and like stuff. Yeah, and you guys went through the express, so you still got to see, or front of the line there, you still got to see, like, the don't open, dead inside doors, with them pushing out, which is, that's all part of their queue. It's not, in Orlando, we have nothing in our queues whenever it comes to HHN, but then once you get in the house, it's themed. It starts as soon as you get inside the queue, the whole theme starts to build, and that's cool, but yeah, overall it's a blah.
But I do remember you talking about that, like you having the issue, they were just like blaring the theme song.
It's so loud.
When you have to wait 30 minutes and you're like, oh god, it's warfare. Yeah. So I'm glad that we sped through that. But.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say about it, though, is you've got to remember the time of year we visited was around the Halloween Horror Nights event. And
yes.
Rhino and I, are, you know, we're going to both of these events on both coasts. So we'd been through an awful lot of very, very, very good houses. I feel like we would have probably given it a somewhat better review if we'd gone through at a different time of year when we weren't so house heavy at that moment in time. Because I still enjoyed it. It was lacking in actors.
I just thought it was lacking in actors. It just needed to be filled in.
Yeah. It's a good idea for people who have never been to Horror Nights before. It's a good idea to give them a representation of what the event's like without going over the top like you do during the year. So like that was when I went with my dad in the summer. That was his first time ever seeing their style of a house, and so it did interest him. It wasn't like, oh no, that's it, whatever. It kind of got him intrigued. So there is a benefit for it. It's like a light version.
Right.
But
so from there, we went to eat at the Moulin Rouge for our VIP dining experience. And I will say, this dining experience was very VIP. So you come in, the restaurant's closed to you.
Coucher.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
what are you trying to say right now? I'm listening.
We're man mama long down in old Moulin Rouge.
Strutting our stuff on.
Anyway. That is like my favorite movie. But,
you want to give it a go?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe. You want to give it a go?
Anyway, you go in. The restaurant is exclusive to you. You can kind of just pick wherever we want to eat. It was a nice day. We picked the outside patio, which is basically on the edge of a cliff. So you're just outlooking the entire California countryside.
You can see the lot as well.
There's an 80-foot drop right next to you. I mean, the wall comes up to my shoulder, head or something.
I believe that is where Tom Petty got the inspiration to write Free Fallin'.
Are you being serious?
Did you really just? I will say I was pretty impressed with what they were serving us. It was an incredibly diverse thing. Like, there's a picture of my plate that has like sushi, hummus, the pita bread. Like, there's like,
yeah,
okay, yeah. So I have the caprese salad. There's like roasted potatoes. There's noodle salad thing. There's like Brussels sprouts. Like, man, I was trying to eat healthy
when
that
you
day.
Yeah, when you compare that to your what plate. I Show was eating yours. That day, it looks like we went to two different buffets completely. So that's what I picked
meat.
Out so I had yeah chicken they had fingers. Chicken fingers, meatballs, all of it was very, very good, and that's
crisps.
No, that was all it was all served to you
San Pellegrino.
S. Pellegrino.
Oh, I did like the San Pellegrino.
Yes, Coke products in S. Pellegrino, as well as
S. Pellegrino.
Fancy coffees as well. There was a coffee machine there that did cappuccino, espresso,
and it's all on latte. Like the plates are all like they're these really nice white plates with like gold rimming around them. That like it says Hollywood VIP experience. And the cups.
What happened? I wasn't big.
Oh, they don't have gold. It's in the plate. It's your food. You can't see it. Anyway, the glasses you're using. I hate you. I hate everything about you.
The glasses were very nice as well.
I wanted to pocket one of them because I went up and asked, can I keep them? And
we were asking if you could buy them in the stores. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But my favorite part was there was actually a character interaction. They had one Ms. Betty Boop roaming around, and she came up to the table, and we got a picture together. If you're looking here, I'm very happy. We had a nice conversation here.
You are very happy there. It was nice because the restaurant itself wasn't very busy. There was an awful lot of seating, indoor and outdoor, and you didn't feel, you know, rammed in there. So when you were sitting in the restaurant itself, and Betty Boop came out, like, she spent a good amount of time with you. Like, you didn't feel rushed at all. How was your experience with Betty? I can't deal with this. I lose myself. The point I wanted to make is Betty Boop over here was...
she was good. She said to me,
very good.
Have you seen a movie star today? And I said, no, but I said, yeah, I'm talking to you. You're my favorite one, you know. And so it was a nice.
I'd say the quality of face actors is tenfold, like compared to what we get over here. Too.
So. Ours has that weird wig. Like you've seen her, right? The like foam wig.
Yeah, she was. You know, it was more realistic. I would say as well that she was very confident in the character. Some of the things she was saying, like it was another one of those where they were aware of themselves. Like she was making jokes about how good she looked for being over 100 years old, and it was. It was an awful lot of fun. It didn't feel cheesy. It felt enjoyable. So, I'd say the dining experience as a whole was very good. Not to skip over the desserts that they had as well.
You spent some time on that in the video.
So, it was very food heavy. You could eat as much as you wanted.
On that note too, they did give us ample amount of eating time as well. He basically was like, okay, lunch is going to start now. And he gave us, I think, like over an hour.
Nothing
felt
rushed.
And he was
like,
you can go and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Or you can go eat and do whatever. Yeah.
No, absolutely nothing on the whole tour. Considering they're keeping, you know, to a tight schedule, nothing felt rushed at all. I was very, very impressed indeed. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, back to the stuff that actually matters.
So after we ate, we embarked on the studio tour. Yeah.
We did. Yes.
First part we couldn't take pictures at, though, because it was currently shooting. It was like a show that is currently shooting. The season hasn't premiered yet, and it had to do with like what the set we walked into was going to reveal spoilers for the second season of this show. You don't remember
Swarm?
The Colony?
That was Colony.
It was Colony, in USA. And so they took us through like one of the fancy houses, they took us through one of the regular houses, and then they took us through their underground base, which I don't think it's still aired yet, so I'm sorry if I've just ruined something. But
well, that's one of the reasons they actually not to take photos, because, you know, it is a live set. One of the things I was amazed at is considering this is a hot set, meaning they are using it and they just weren't using it at that time, they're very relaxed about you being in there. All they ask is you don't take photos. Apart from that, they weren't on you all the time to like, don't touch this, don't touch that. Like, they ask you one time not to do it, and then after that, they're very, very relaxed.
Yeah, the tour guides treat you like an actual intelligent human being, whereas like a normal tour guide with a normal group would repeatedly tell you, don't touch anything, remember, don't touch anything, remember, don't touch anything.
But that's when I went on the tour, we had a lot of issues because there were a lot of people who were touching everything and not being respectful of
that
it.
Sucks.
We were going through the house in Parenthood.
Oh.
The no longer on the air show.
Yeah. Well, I was a little bummed because as we were driving along, they're like, you know, at Universal Hollywood, they have a billboard and it says, or not a billboard, but a sign. And it says the currently filming on what lot? And they were filming Superstore. And I was like, oh, maybe we're going to see the set for Superstore.
Yeah, they even spoke about it. Yeah. The whole Superstore set is in one of those sound stages. And it was like, why? Why couldn't we have gone in there and had a look? So,
I guess that sound stage really would have just been a Walmart. But it probably wouldn't have been as interesting.
Larger aisles.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's not just the sound stages that you get to see, though, although that is an awesome part of the tour. They do show you a lot of like the prop cars to start off with. That's something they drive you by.
Well, that's part of the regular tour, too. Yeah. They bring you through that area that has like the Back to the Future cars, the Fast and the Furious cars. So you do all of the normal part of that tour.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so that includes you go through Kong.
Yes.
You go through Fast and the Furious.
Earthquake.
Earthquake.
Jaws.
Earthquake Jazz. That they're still masquerading as an episode of Bones, which I've forgotten the two times I've gone in.
Yeah. But what is different about the VIP tour is because you are not connected to the regular tour, you'll go through some of these areas. Like when you hit the backlot portion where they start to drive you, instead of going the normal route that all of the rest of the regular studio tram tours go, all of a sudden, your driver will just kind of pull off to the side and start to open up opportunities where you can get out, walk around, do something different.
Yeah. Just like, have to ask where to go.
Yeah, like I got when I did it, I didn't get to do the courtyard with the courthouse because they were currently filming
Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah. That's right. They were filming that there, so that wasn't available to us, but. You know, like we got to stop off at other places, went into like one of the sound mixing areas and a couple other things to make up for other stuff that you would miss out if you did the tour at a different time. But yeah, so you never know where you're going to divert from the regular tour. They try to keep it different and fresh and unique. So. Sorry.
No. That's like what you're talking about is like a big thing for Pete. Desperate Housewives. He loves that show. And so we went down Wisteria Lane, which also has the house from the Munsters. Somebody else's house is on that street, too.
An awful lot of people's houses are on that street. They will say, like, they will point out the house and they'll be like, yep, that's been used in a Lowe's commercial. That's been used in this. And you do. Like, you start to look at stuff like... It does. It looks familiar, and I don't know why. And it's because you've seen it all in stuff before. It's crazy.
It's great. I want to say just quickly, it's great that you got to get out and walk around
Wisteria Lane.
For the past two times, I want to say that I've done the studio tour, they have completely cut out going down that road and circling around.
They even asked. They had to do a special. Like, he asked. There was something going on, and they were like, they weren't sure they were going to be able to do it until right before they did it. And they had to ask again right before they went. Yeah. And like I said, we peed in one of the houses because they're, you know, a fake house, but it's smushed together. So it's like you walk in and you're in the backyard.
Basically. Left an upper decker.
I don't remember the name of the person's house we did, but
you did leave it up.
But one of the things, you know, we wanted to do, and you know, we went Halloween Horror Nights was that night. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it'd be really cool if we could get out and walk at Bates Motel or up to the house. We can't because that's part of Halloween Horror Nights. Cause they had the motel's decorated as part of that stupid clown thing. And then the house was, you know, has a queue. You can get out and take photos there and stuff like that. But So we did that. We did all the regular stuff. We got to do that, and then of course they came over and they brought us to the courthouse, and which is that whole plaza area. You know, if you don't know, Gremlins is filmed in there.
It's been used in Buffy as well in the past.
Yeah, and so they let us get out. They took photos in front of, but then they let us. I walked right up to the door of the courthouse. Like I sat on the steps. You know, I'm just touching everything I could touch while I was in there. Touch me. And so I that for me was like, it's weird. You're sitting there and you're looking around and you're kind of like, I am, you know, Universal. I talk about all the time. It's like you're stepping into the movie. Yep. You're literally in the movie right there.
And of course, all these areas have changed over time, burnt down, stuff like that.
Yes.
But it's still so cool to just be there where all this history was made. That's so cool. One of my favorite parts when I did the tour was the prop warehouse. Did you guys go in there?
Oh, yeah, we did. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was cool. It's interesting that there's a little E.T. That's not E.T. from the movie. That's E.T. from the original ride before they...
Yeah. I feel like this prop... What I will say
Hello,
that...
Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Steven.
The prop warehouse
It's
definitely an in-use... prop warehouse. The stuff has tags on it, and they do, again, they're asking you be very mindful, please don't touch things, don't break things. They're actually using these.
Oh, we are allowed to touch whatever we wanted.
See, I yeah, but
this
is it.
They don't touch anything in the prop warehouse.
Yeah, they did.
Whoops.
Were you touching things?
Oh, yeah. I was rubbing my hand on every desk I found. Yeah.
So, the cool part for me was, I'm sure you went past it too. There's literally a row that's just filled with rubber guns.
Just
we didn't.
Okay, yeah, we got to. It's literally a whole.
We spent a lot of time on desks.
It was probably a 40 or 50 foot long row, just filled with rubber guns from the floor to about maybe 10 feet high. And so they're like, "Oh, keep touching them, touch them all. See, they're all fake. They're none of them are real." It was just. It was kind of. It was fun. It was cool.
Yeah.
So it's I loved.
They brought us up to like the. Changeling? Is that the movie? Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
And directed by Clint Eastwood. And that's where she kind of started the speech, and she was explaining how they had to like construct this thing, but now they have it in the warehouse, and they had like tags on it where they were like, oh, they're being rented out by this show, and this show is using this, or you might recognize this from this show. And so it was cool. Like one specific, I don't know if you ended up putting the photo in there, but there was a giant shopping cart.
I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a giant shopping cart, and she was saying, and this is before I had watched the episode yet, but oh, this was on The Good Place. Which is the Kristen Bell show that was on. And when we drove through the set, she's like, this is from The Good Place. That's why this says yogurt. That's why this. So when I was watching the first episode, I'm like, we were just there.
See, the thing I found interesting as well is you've realized just how much they're reusing this stuff, because that same shopping cart that's used in The Good Place is the same shopping cart that they ride in the opening scene of the film Jackass, where they're riding down the hill. It's the same shopping cart. So it just gives you an idea of, you know, just it brings it home that this is a working movie studio and these props are being used in real productions, and it's that insider knowledge that you just, you know, you're not going to get on any of the other tours.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, that was cool. And then once the tour concluded too, he like was ready to be like, okay, we're going to go do a couple more rides. He's like, we're going on Jurassic Park. And that's when we stepped out because you know, we were doing Halloween Horror Nights and so we needed to like get food before everything closed
So when we did the tour, we had like the first tour booked in the morning. So that was different from yours, where you did yours later in the day. We started off right away, went straight to the studio tour, went around. And that led into, we finished the tour, obviously, which lasts about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah,
the backlot portion.
About 2.5 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that brought us right into lunch. We went and did lunch. We did one ride with our tour guide, and then the rest we just broke off at that point and went and did whatever we want. Because, like I said, you have unlimited front of the line pass. So I think I did Jurassic Park like 3 times, Mummy a bunch of times too. I did Transformers a couple times because at that point it hadn't opened up at Universal Orlando yet. So I'm like, I want to know all about this before ours opens up. And at that point it was just like a couple weeks. But yeah, you don't have to stay with them, and they don't make you feel guilty for
because when we left, he was like, oh, you sure? You know, and he was like, hey, thanks guys. You know, everything. I would have stayed with Chris until the park closed though.
Yeah.
Just for me, because of the impression he left on us. And I was a little bit like reluctant to leave him.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's obviously a logical place to start wrapping this up. I think personally, if you are going to Universal, if you're going to California for like a once
in a lifetime thing,
I wouldn't even say once in a lifetime. If it's a once every, if you're only going to go once every 5 years, once every 10 years, like if this if you go to California once every other year, once a year, I would say you can get a lot of this. Maybe do the VIP tour once, and after that, you know, just go to the park regularly. For me, anytime I go to California anymore and I don't go to Universal Studios Hollywood, I love adding it on there.
Yeah.
But if you're only going to go to the park, go to California, sorry, once every 5 or 10 years, like just not often, I think the only way to do it is VIP. You have to spend that extra money and just experience it that way.
I would invest, at the end of this tour, I felt like I would do this again.
Yeah.
Like that I would take money out of my own pocket and be like, I don't think at the end of the day I would have been like, oh, well, that was a bummer. Like I would have been like, yes, 100%. So, Yeah, you're right. Like, if you'd only go every so often, I mean, it really, like, you're going to see different movies. You can, you know, if you've got different agendas, yeah, it can all change. That's the thing that's great about it. But you're also going to leave that day having done everything in the park.
There's so many things that we do that are like this. They're ticketed, extra ticketed things, upcharged things. And the amount of times I come away, I'm like, yeah, I had a great time. It was awesome. But it wasn't worth, you know, X amount of money. This is $359 well spent. Like, I would reach into my own pocket and pay to do this again, because it was an outstanding day. It yep. really, really was.
I will say, to balance it out in talking about, because for, you know, we're all very East Coast heavy. I know a lot of the people who watch and listen to us are also East Coast heavy. California is really isn't a trip you make that often. So for a lot of these people, you might also be thinking about, maybe I should do Warner Brothers, Paramount, another studio tour that's around there. If you're planning on doing one of those, I would say, honestly, I did the Paramount tour the day before I did Universal Studios Hollywood. And while I enjoyed it for the VIP experience, for the unlimited use of front of the line and the seeing the history of Universal,
yeah,
you'll see more on a different studio tour that is, you know, just that's focused on the studio portion of it. It was, I know that it was kind of did feel slightly underwhelming, but for me, because of the Universal history aspect to it and loving Universal, I still got great enjoyment out of it. But if you are going to do a different studio tour, like I mentioned, Paramount or Warner Brothers, maybe you don't need to do this one. But if you do connect to the movies, like Back to the Future, and you want to see maybe right. the chance of going into a set of one of NBC's current shows or one of the shows being produced on the Universal lot, it's good to do it.
I somebody even asked, is our experience colored by the fact that we're film students? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a fan of film. I think you don't have to be a film student or whatever. You can just be a fan of TV shows or whatever. Like, yes, I mean that, but that was what I wanted to get out of the tour. And you know, and there are other people in the tour that want that, they want to do that cool stuff on the back lot, but their thing is, oh, I want to get the most out of the park. And that's why they come around and they ask you that in the beginning of the day. And that's why this was tailored, like why I loved it so much, because of that. If you're going to do it and you just want to do it for the theme park, I mean, you might as well just invest in front of the line, because yeah. if you're not interested in doing the backlot tour, I mean, that's kind of the whole, like, what this experience is sort of geared at, is that you can do both. But if you are, like, you want to go and you really don't care about anything to do with the backlot, the thing, you weren't going to do the tram tour, then
which if you weren't, I don't understand why yeah. you're even going.
Yeah, why?
You need slapped around.
Yeah. So, yeah. And somebody asked too, your ticket is included in that price that we yeah. originally said with that. It's not like this on top of a ticket price.
Exactly. So when you account for the ticket, the unlimited front of the line, and the meals yeah. in there, there's still a gap, obviously, in price. There's no denying that, but that's where you get those extra experiences you don't get to see on the normal backlot tour, as well as the hearing this insight and information from your guides. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Chris was wonderful, but let's just put it out there. They're VIP guides because of what they bring to the table. It's because they have a passion for these places and they do care about it, and they want to share what they love with everyone else. That's why they become VIP guides. So even a not so great VIP guide will still have a ton of information
yeah.
To give you, and still make sure you receive world-class guest service with it too. So.
Oh, and on that note too, I will give Universal a lot of props. Their team members there are very on it, because when we separated from the tour guide and somebody came yep. up to us, he was like, oh, you have to do this. And then he saw our lanyard and he was like, oh, you know what? You know, we want to make sure that you do have the best experience, the VIP experience. So I'm going to go ahead and take care of that. Why don't you guys just wait here and I'll come back and help you out.
Very nice.
Yeah. So
very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for sharing. So I was joking about that 2-hour episode, but yeah, we went on a little long.
It was only like an hour and a few minutes, because we started like 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
Why did we start? Somebody wasn't recording. Wasn't streaming anything, so we did a show for ourselves for a few minutes.
that was fun. No, I enjoyed hearing about it. It makes me want to get back out and do it again. I was bitterly jealous when I found out that you guys would be going, but I had the opportunity to go on that trip, and I passed it up. So I'm the only one to blame for that. But no, it's very, very cool. So I hope you had fun, and I hope everyone out there got a lot of enjoyment from you sharing your tales and weaving them, weaving your yarns. And that, I can't think of any other ways to say it. But thank you guys out there. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Of course, if you want to find out more about those news stories that we talked about earlier or anything else, make sure you hit up disunplug.com. That is our show notes page where you'll find everything you need to know about this episode, this show, and any other show on the Disunplug podcast network. Because let's be honest, they are all pretty awesome. I might be biased because I'm on like 9/10 of them. And yeah, so make sure you're following us on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you're subscribed to all of our YouTube channels that we have, and you're leaving comments and feedback, as well as on iTunes. Feel free to subscribe, rate and review us. Always get a kick out of those couple bad comments that we read every time I put the call out to do that. Always just so much fun. And yeah, so just always send, if you want to send us an email, uopodcast@disunplug.com. We'll probably be doing another Q&A episode coming up here shortly. Could be next week if we can't think of what else to do. Ooh. We're that kind of people. So yeah, just what?
Not next week.
Oh, yeah, next week. Not next week, but potentially the next week after that.
That means so, you've got a lot of time to think of your questions.
You got a lot of time to think of
quality questions.
Exactly, exactly. So thank you guys again so much. Really do appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. Hit that music. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks. Remember, Thanksgiving is universal. Unless you're not American.